a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Well, welcome to Monday morning. Dave Noriega still on vacation. We're about ready to put out an APB on him. Supposed to be back tomorrow. But today, I have sitting right next to me, Ethan Millard of the Nightside Project.
One last time before Dave comes back.
So good to have you.
I'm excited. We've got such a great show today. I'm really looking forward to kind of getting in on all this stuff.
Well, let's talk about the story that has been top of mind for me and so many others.
Wild weather, in-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Ethan, we're going to spend the show working to get to the bottom of how those seven people lost their lives. On I-15 in an instant. And it was originally described by the Utah Highway Patrol as a dust storm on I-15. In about 10 minutes, Kevin Eubank of KSL, meteorologist, of course, calling the show to explain, was it a sandstorm? Was it a dust storm? But we don't know what triggered this to begin with.
Well, and this is a nightmare scenario. For me, I love taking my kids out camping. I've actually started to avoid the major holidays when we do big long drives, or kind of stack the drive around it. So come back a day late, leave a day early, things like that, to avoid this kind of traffic. Because having it happen on a holiday, Debbie, I think just compounds the terror of what happened. I mean, it's so shocking to have to lose that number of people in one crash, including children, is not unheard of, but it is so rare.
We're going to break down exactly how these people died. I mean, the way they, I guess apparently some people were in one car, other people were in another car. The strewn of just debris all over I-15 in the Kanawha area. And I'm just getting an update. Apparently our newsroom now reporting that eight people have lost their lives, Ethan. Here's what UHP Sergeant Cameron Roden told KSL TV last night.
We had a dust storm blow through the area, causing really low visibility. And we had multiple collisions that started happening on the southbound lanes of I-15, resulting in severe injuries and multiple fatalities.
We still don't know what triggered that crash.
Yeah.
We don't know if somebody, when the dust storm hit, if somebody kind of lost sight of the road and other cars followed. We don't know if a car flipped off the side of the road. We don't know if people were slamming on their brakes and it caused a chain reaction crash. Again, one of the details we're working to get today.
I've never experienced anything like this. Now, I've experienced heavy snow, but everyone always slows down in the snowstorm because you also lose traction, right? Something happened here. I'm shocked they continued to drive this fast through that sandstorm or through that dust storm, but I guess it's I've never been in an experience like that. So there must be something about it that I don't understand, that I can't grasp, but I'm really surprised that there were multiple fatality level speeds in that dust storm.
Eight people now confirmed dead. Here's what we know. It was on I-15 southbound near Kanawha, which just seems like a few miles from Fillmore. Everybody's stopped for gas in Fillmore, haven't we, at some point on I-15?
Mm-hmm.
22 vehicles involved. Now, as I said, 8 people dead. 5 people in one of the cars killed. 2 were in another. Let's try to confirm where that third person, which car that third person was in. 10 sent to the hospital and some in critical condition. I've been in dust storms driving. And in fact, I think I was in a sandstorm at one point. I don't know for sure, but it mm-hmm. seemed like it was so low to the ground. And this is what I'm hearing, is that sandstorms are lower to the ground than dust storms.
It's heavier.
Because it's heavier. Mm. We're going to get that information out of the expert, meteorologist Kevin Eubank, in just a moment.
So I was kind of looking into this, and because I started thinking, I always put myself into these situations, which I know isn't always super healthy, but I think, oh man, what would I have done if I'd have been in there with my kids? And I actually found from the Kansas Highway Patrol a bunch of options that you could do.
Okay. Kansas was where I was in that dust storm that I remember as being one of the worst driving experiences I ever had. Mm-hmm. I was driving back from a little town called Colby, Kansas, where my son was playing baseball. He was a pitcher for the junior college there. Driving back to catch a flight out of Denver. And I got out of the car at one point, stop at the rest stop. And it was really, really windy. Really windy. So I'm heading back after that toward the Denver airport. And before I hit the Colorado state line, Ethan, there was just out of nowhere this, I thought it was a dust storm. It might have been a sandstorm, blinded me. And I got so scared, I had to pull over on the side of the road, which I'm thinking is probably the right thing to do. It's yeah. probably one of the tips that you're going to give us in just yeah. a moment. Because I was afraid that the semi trucks I'd seen blowing by me, mm-hmm. probably 80, 90 miles an hour, were screeching to a halt up ahead, and I couldn't see anything.
Yeah. Well, and that's the problem. So here are the tips. So when you see it coming on, you turn your headlights on. That's the first thing you do, okay?
Okay.
Is get your headlights on. The second thing you do is get off the road. And get off as quickly as possible. Now, they say don't stop in the lane. Don't even stop on the shoulder. Get off of the paved area
okay.
completely.
Because okay? I would worry somebody would follow my brake lights right into my trunk.
And that's the second part. Pull all the way off the paved area if possible, and turn off your car, turn off the lights, set the parking brake, and take your foot off the brake. Because you don't want your lights showing up, because what's going to happen is that low visibility, people are disoriented. They're going to see your taillights or your brake lights. They're going to say, oh, traffic is moving that way. And with that loss of visibility, that loss of orientation, they'll nail you. They'll run right into the back of you.
The problem with dust storms or sandstorms in Utah just doesn't seem like we have them that often.
Yeah, so I thought that same thing.
We forget. We're going to forget. Because you hit the nail on the head when you said, snowstorms are so common. We're used to it.
Yeah.
We're worried about the road icing over, so we automatically slow down. I think the mentality in a sandstorm or dust storm, Ethan, is this. It's going to be like a
yeah.
one block, you know, mm-hmm. width, and I'm going to get right through it.
Yep.
Or the dust is just going to settle and blow out of the air, so I really don't have to worry about it. But in snowstorms, we do worry about, are my tires going to, you know, keep their traction.
That's right.
Is there going to be ice ahead?
My son is learning to drive right now.
Ooh.
We've been going through all that, driving
Sorry.
Out in the evening, you know, many evenings a week, and we'll go out drive and things like that. And one of the things that I'm teaching him is when you're in a snowstorm, we know we have snowstorm down cold, right? When you get in a snowstorm, you bring your speed down and no sudden movements. You stay off the gas, you stay off the brake, no sudden movements, no quick acceleration, no sudden braking. That's how you get through a snowstorm, right? With a sandstorm, though, and you're right, they happen so infrequently here. Oh, maybe they happen more often than we realize, just so we don't get them here.
In 3 minutes, can I take you inside one of the cars that was passing by the strewn of wreckage all over I-15 and what they were seeing from their vantage point as they were driving by this horrific accident that happened now by Kanosh? And mm-hmm. also, KSL meteorologist Kevin Eubank calling in 3 minutes as well. We will need to ask him, was this a sandstorm? Is this a dust storm? And what's the difference?
Dave and Dejanovic. Wild weather. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
We're talking about that horrible chain reaction accident that happened down south, I-15, near the Kanosh area. We now know 8 people are dead. Some 22 cars involved.
That's
Ethan
still
Millard
just
in for Dave Noriega.
An unbelievable number to me. An unbelievable number to happen on a Pioneer Day weekend. Families are together. They're out going places, visiting, seeing, doing. And to have that happen, I mean.
It was a sandstorm? Was it a dust storm? UHP saying it was a dust storm. I'm reading it could have been a sandstorm, and that sandstorms are worse than dust storms because the sand is heavier and stays closer to the ground.
Yeah.
So it's even more blinding than a dust storm. Kevin Eubank on with us in just a moment, KSL meteorologist, to help us sort through those questions. But first, Ethan, I want to take you inside the car of Macy Langston. She is driving down in that area. Now, keep in mind, this happened on southbound I-15.
Right.
You know, 2-3 hours south of Salt Lake City.
80-mile-per-hour speed limit. But just a couple, just two lanes each way, I think, is what it is through there.
And Macy, and it sounds like other people in the car driving on the northbound side. And can you imagine just coming up upon this accident where there's, you know, hoods of cars and cars flipped over and, you know, metal and steel everywhere, plastic all over the place along the freeway.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like when they're inside their car looking at this, it becomes very surreal. So let's listen to the video that she recorded.
Look, are you on your right? Somebody definitely died.
Oh, yeah, they're dead.
Oh, my gosh.
That car got wrapped.
That one looks like it rolled, or maybe it's just the dust.
It's so weird, you know, to sit and listen, to be able to hear inside of someone else's car driving past that, because you put yourself in that exact situation. And I have this, I don't know if it's helpful as a parent or not. I think it's a defense mechanism for my family, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's a way of protecting my family, is the way that I react to these stories now that I'm a parent. And that is, I put myself in that sandstorm. What would I have done? And I guess it's just a way to cope, you know, and think, all right, because otherwise you put yourself in the it's to avoid putting myself in the situation where I had to think, have to think about what if that happened to my family. I think about what if I were in that sandstorm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And I can't get it out of my head.
What would you do?
Well, now I know, thanks to Kansas Highway Patrol, now I would know that I would turn my headlights on and exit the freeway, even if it's off the shoulder onto the dirt.
But had you not read that this morning?
I would have crept my way.
Recited it to me.
I would have hoped that I would have just crept my way through it, but I don't know. Maybe there's something about the suddenness in which it came on.
Yeah. Let's ask Kevin Eubank, KSL meteorologist. Good morning, Kevin.
Hey, guys. How are you both?
Oh, we're just so sad to hear now an 8 person has lost their life in that horrific accident down in the Kanawha area. Can you tell us, what happened down there with the weather?
Well, let me just say, first off, our heart breaks. That is a tragedy. And as Ethan mentioned, Debbie, if you've mentioned, it's so sad to be on a holiday weekend, families. And if you look at the pictures, you had everything from semi-truck drivers hauling loads to get to our stores to help us, to families who are with RVs and kids that are just out trying to enjoy a Pioneer Day holiday. And so severe thunderstorms once again over southern Utah. We've seen flooding over the last several days, but this one's a little different. But those same thunderstorms that produce the flooding rains produce intense, what are called outflow winds. So very strong winds pour out of those rapidly towering clouds. And those wind gusts can go anywhere from 50 to 80 to 90 miles an hour, and they can race ahead or behind of those storms. It just depends on where the storm is forming and how those wind gusts are generated. But they can go for miles and miles and miles away from the actual storm. And so in this particular case, here was a group of people driving along I-15. An incredibly strong, sustained wind came and picked up all of the dirt and debris. The difference between a sandstorm and a dust storm is the availability of sand. So in this particular area, we're not surrounded by a lot of sand. So this would not be traditionally characterized as a sandstorm. You'll get a lot of sandstorms out in Arizona, in the desert, Mojave Desert, other places where sand is in abundance. This, we're so dry that the soil is so dry that it's just so easily picked up. Had it been in spring and everything was wet, you wouldn't have this kind of a storm. There wouldn't be the available dirt and dust in the air to create this type of a storm. Well, so because it's epically dry, that was one contributing factor.
Well, and that was kind of what we were wondering, because I've never experienced a sandstorm or a dust storm like this. And I feel like even though these thunderstorms aren't rare, we get them every year. Do you feel like the actual dust storm itself is unique?
This type of dust storm that has this type of damage that causes this loss of life extremely unique in Utah. This doesn't happen here. Now, it happens in Phoenix. It happens in Arizona. They lose lives almost every year because of these types of storms that come up. And what happens is, imagine yourself driving on the freeway and your visibility goes to zero. Not just dark like as a night where you can turn on a light and see ahead of you. This is zero. You turn on your lights, it doesn't do anything. Well, you don't know where you are on the freeway. You can barely see the lines on the freeway. You don't know who's coming ahead of you, who's coming behind you, and who's stopped in front of you. So what happens is, what do? And you just mentioned the right thing to do is to get off of the freeway, get off of the main roadway, because people coming behind you are going to create it's just this huge domino effect. And that's exactly what happened. One accident occurred. The people behind or in front couldn't see the accident, and then they came into that accident. And at a 70 to 80 mile an hour speed limit, even if you reduce your speeds to 30 or 40 miles an hour because of the visibility, when you're coming upon carnage and a huge wreck like that, it's just a recipe for disaster. Yeah. And in this case, a huge loss of life.
Well, so with this drought, this sustained drought that we're in, do you suspect that we might see more of this kind of dust storm just with the lack of vegetation?
Yes. I mean, the truth be told, you're going to get more wind. It's going to pick up more dust. And here along the Wasatch Front, the big concern is salt and the debris from the leftover remnant material from the Great Salt Lake as we're shrinking. Yeah. So, yes, the wind is going to pick up dust and particles and continue to move it through the air. Usually it's an air quality issue. It's a visibility issue. It's a chamber of commerce issue. It's a tourism issue.
Right.
Here, this was a life and death issue. I mean, yeah. This was something that, and so more predictable types of storms along the I-15 corridor in that particular spot, no, I don't think we're going to have more of those. But in general, yes, strong winds are going to kick up dust, and in an epically dry drought, it's going to cause more problems.
Yeah. We're hearing now from KSL meteorologist Kevin Eubank joining us live after that terrible chain reaction accident claimed 8 lives along I-15 southbound. Down near the Kanosh area yesterday. And Kevin, I have to tell you, I was driving, and you probably heard me talk about this, the dust storm I was in Kansas a few years ago. And, you know, I've driven in snowstorms, and I've had slide-offs in snowstorms. I've driven through dust storms because I grew up in Arizona. But that dust storm that I hit in Kansas, I've never been more frightened to be behind the wheel because of exactly what you described. I did not know what was going on in front of me because the visibility was zero and I couldn't tell who was coming up behind me at 80 miles an hour.
And Debbie, it's amazing you say that because those who've been in that experience will never forget it because it is terrifying to be in a spot where you lose complete orientation. Humans, we love to know where we are, what we're doing, and how we got there. And when you introduce dust or sand into an environment that you can't see, you don't know which way is forward, backward, up, or down. Yeah. And it's like the only thing holding you to the ground is gravity. And every other sense that you have is completely scrambled. And it creates a panic, especially if you're in a vehicle and you know there are others behind you that are coming at a high rate of speed. You don't know which way. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I go forward? What do I do? And that is what ultimately leads to these deadly events is because that panic and even the inability to go somewhere. We talk about, hey, get off the freeway. Okay, great. Show me which way to go.
Yeah.
Because I thought I knew where I was.
And there's
but now I don't know where I am.
Right. And you don't know where the nearest exit is. And it's so scary. Kev, before we let you go, I did read earlier today that sandstorms are far worse than dust storms. Although after what we saw down there in southern Utah, I'm not so sure any of that matters. They both sound horrible.
Yeah, it's a semantic issue. The reason why they say dust storms are bigger or more dangerous or heavier a problem is the weight of the sand stays low to the ground. Dust can be spread out through the column of air that it's working through, so they can go higher vertical. When you're dealing with sandstorms, they typically, the densest, darkest part stays to the ground because of the heavier weight of the actual sand particle, because it's a rock particle instead of an actual flake. So you're dealing with two different elements, but hey, both are bad, and you don't want to be in any of them. And whether you call it sand or whether you call it dust, to the 8 people who lost their lives, it was a tragedy, regardless of what it's being called.
Yeah. Well, KSL-TV's Kevin Eubank breaking this down for us, putting in some context. Kevin, thanks so much. This has been really helpful.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kev.
So just a brief little review of what we've learned. When you get in a situation like this, you want to immediately get off the road, not just onto the shoulder. Don't just stop all the way off the paved area if you can. Turn off your lights, take your foot off the brake so that you're not showing brake lights, and then just cross your fingers. And but Kevin pointed out that even sometimes that can be really hard, because if you're suddenly enveloped in something and you've lost your orientation, it can be hard to even find the side of the road. And I get that, but that's the recommendation, at least from the Kansas Highway Patrol. And they've got a lot of experience with this. And it sounds like because of the drought, we might start having more experience with dust storms than we did in the past.
I took to my Facebook page just before the show, Ethan, and I asked those on Facebook to share their scariest driving moments. So next, let's talk about some of the scariest driving moments our listeners have gone through. Mm-hmm. And also, I know that you have a list of the deadliest states to drive in.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.